few minutes to a couple of passages here. I'll be asking you to turn to a few others as well. Hebrews chapter 12 and Galatians chapter 6 won't be the only ones you turn to for a while tonight, but Hebrews chapter 12, Galatians 6, and there's nothing new here tonight that you probably haven't heard, maybe even from me at one point or another before. But there are some things that we need to be encouraged about and reminded about fairly often. And in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, you read this. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. You've not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. I wanted you to pay careful attention there to lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. We'll be back here in a minute. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Let's pray. Well, Father, we are familiar with these passages. We've been encouraged from these passages before, and we will be again. We know, Lord, that we fail a lot of times in things that we know so well. And Father, we also recognize that while sometimes, anyway, the Spirit is willing, we also know the flesh is almost always weak. And so we come to you tonight for encouragement and help. Lord, we went through some things here this morning in church about the discouraging particular hours that we live in here in this particular dispensation that we live. It's the latter days. It's the latter times. We see a lot of things going on that ought not. We see a downhill slide in some spiritual and moral things, Lord, that is despicable and disgraceful. And Father, we find weakness in ourselves sometimes that we despise as well. We pray that you might encourage us here and pray that we might be just reminded of some things that we probably already know, but that might have faded a little bit from our hearts. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I'll assume here, talking to everybody here this tonight, that we're all Christians. And if you're a Christian, then there are some things that are true. First of all, with regard to what the Christian life is like, it's like a lot of different things. And so the Lord paints different pictures for us so we'll understand. In Hebrews 12, Christian life is painted as a race. And it's not a 100-yard dash, and it's not, you know, the 110-meter hurdles. It's a long-distance race. Everybody knows that. And yet another place you are taught that the Christian life is like a warfare, and your hardness is a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And yet other places you're taught that Christian life is something like a vineyard, and we are husbandmen, and we are to labor and to be responsible for fruit born in the vineyard of the Lord, and so on. If that all is the case, and it is, then I'll be able to assure you, and I'm sure that there are folks here tonight that might even be able to raise their hand and say amen anyway. If that all is the case, then it is also true that Christianity is now full of runners who are really weary of running and soldiers that are worn out with fighting and with husbandmen that are worn out with plowing and sowing and weeding and hoeing and all those things. That danger is recognized by the Lord in both those passages that we read and in others. He says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. He had said over here in Hebrews chapter 12 and down around, where was it, verse 3, consider him that endured contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. One of the dangers that the Christian life is fraught with is that you will be weary and that you will grow faint and tired of putting up with what you have to put up with. You know, one of the primary battles in the Christian life is with ourselves. There's an awful lot the devil gets blamed for that's not the devil. There's just an awful lot of times that casualties occur in the Christian life, and by a casualty, I mean somebody lays down and in the end quits. And it really doesn't have anything to do with the devil. It really doesn't have anything to do with some heinous demonic activity. It really doesn't have anything to do with any great horrendous supernatural force. It has to do with a sinner basically growing tired of the ins and outs and the give and take of the spiritual battle that you're in. And that's about what it is. Sometimes I think that the Christian life's been romanticized a little bit in some of the Christian writings. And it's not that the Christian writings aren't good, but sometimes I think we almost get a little bit of a misapprehension about what the battle is like. I know that, you know, chick comic books, you have the Crusaders, and the Crusaders are these two handsome guys, and, you know, when somebody gets saved, all their problems are solved, and, you know, things just are just, you know, straight up in there, just rocket science from there, you know, just straight up and all those things. And the fact of the matter is, you probably in some ways haven't found that your Christian life is like that. The truth of the matter is, there's just an awful lot of days and an awful lot of weeks that it's one step forward and two steps back. And so once in a while, you gain a step and a half forward and only one step back. But there's just an awful lot of times that's a close call. It's give and take. Sometimes it's a long time between victories. You learn that you are still going to hurt in your body, that there's still going to be some of the pains and some of the same troubles that the world has. Along with the fact that we are constantly convicted by the Holy Spirit, we have there is an element of self-mortification where you as a Christian are asked to search your heart and search yourself and search your sins in a way that no lost guy ever is. You're called to lay there on your bed and read your Bible and evaluate yourself at a depth that no lost guy ever evaluates himself. And you find a lot of failings, and you find a lot of the depth and a lot of the dirt of human nature, your own human nature. And you know what, folks? There is many a person that I have prayed for and done what I could to encourage and preach to and done what I could to go after them to keep them in the race. And basically, they've decided for one reason or another that they're going to lay down and call it quits. Sometimes they'll blame another Christian for it. Sometimes they'll blame themselves for it. Sometimes they'll find an excuse that somebody did this or somebody did that or hypocrisy in the church or whatever. But in the end, there's just an awful lot of folks. Every casualty out there basically determines that they're going to lay down and quit. They've grown weary. They've grown faint. They're tired of it. In fact, they're sick of it. And so we're going to lay down and call it a day. Now, you know, folks, what you have to appreciate after you've been a Christian for a few years, I've been in the ministry now for a few years, one of the things that you have to learn to appreciate is folks that hang in there. You know, we are not, you know, we said we were runners and soldiers and husbandmen. You know, as runners, we are not, you know, sleek, world-class milers. And as soldiers, we're not elite forces. And as husbandmen, we're not master gardeners. Most of us, frankly, just kind of plug away and plod along and just kind of get by on the ragged edge and do the best that we can to stay on our feet. Well, folks, there's something to be said for staying on your feet. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. I want to talk to you for a little while about some things maybe you've seen before. I want to talk to you for a little while tonight about what you can grow weary of from the Bible. And I don't know, I hope to be able to encourage you a little bit, you know, just keep on going. I know the day gets dark, and I know that, you know, you look around and preachers fall and churches split and Christians fail, and everybody here knows a hypocrite or two or three or 60. And everybody knows how that thing goes, and eventually, you know, somebody always pops up and uses that as an excuse to lay down and quit, and I hope that you won't do that. Because in the end, when you do, what you've said is, I'm tired of it, and I'm out. All right? Now, let me go through some things. The first thing is very general, and basically kind of covers everything. I'll tell you what you'll have to be careful about growing weary of. You will have to be careful about growing weary of the way God does things, of His ways, of His methods, and of His judgments. And I say that in general because it basically covers everything, but I just wanted to preface things by saying God almost never does things the way you would. And God almost never does things when you expect. He almost never does things how you expect. And I got news for you. You won't walk with God very long before you disagree with Him, at least insofar as the way He did it versus the way you would have done it. One of the things that folks grow weary in and actually get offended by, folks, John the Baptist was within a hair's breadth of being offended by how Jesus Christ did things. Simon Peter was offended by how Jesus Christ did things. Moses couldn't understand why God did things the way that He did things. So that's the first thing. You'll have to watch and just understand from the beginning that God's ways are higher than our ways, and His thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and you're stupid, and He's wise, and He's not going to do it the way you would have done it, or when you would have done it. He's just not. Now, there's some other specific things. Turn in your Bibles, and we'll be back to these other passages here in a little while. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. We go through life sometimes, and it's pretty easy to can't see the forest for the trees. You've always heard that saying. Sometimes you get besieged and discouraged by a particular problem or a particular sequence of events and think that something's wrong. You may be being judged and this, that, and the other. And the fact of the matter is, in truth, that if the devil is involved, that what he's trying to do is discourage you, so you will grow tired, you will grow weary, so you will faint, so that you will lay down and quit. And this is one of those things. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And go down. I need to establish a context here. So in verse 10, notice context. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. Well, we like that when it comes to the welfare state and all that. Well, good. For we hear that there are some which walk among you, disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. Got that? Be quiet, work, eat your own food. Okay? Pretty simple stuff. Well, verse 13, but ye brethren, be not weary in well-doing. There's the key, right? Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. Well, he says, be not weary in well-doing. Verse 14, and if any man obey not our word of this epistle, note that man and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Well, in verse 13, you have be not weary in well-doing, and the context of that has to do with somebody working and feeding his face. And it says, be not weary with well-doing. It says, be not weary in well-doing. All right, now, ladies and gentlemen, I'll tell you something that you'll have to watch out of growing weary and fainting in. You will have to watch out about growing weary in just working and paying bills. Now, I'm just asking you to read that passage carefully through there, and I want you to find the American dream in verses 10 through 14. I want you to find there a promise that if you sow a dollar, God's going to give you back 100. I dare you to find it there. And I want you to know it's not there. One of the things that you will have to be careful of growing weary in is the idea of just working and paying bills. You know, it wasn't all that many years ago that it was Amway or Mary Kay or whatever that offered, you know, the true avenue to riches. You know, you can do this on your own time in your own home and all that. And now, folks, with the advent of cable TV and the internet and all the marketing stuff goes on, there are literally thousands of seminars that you can go to on a weekend, spend $200 or $300 and figure out how you can become a millionaire within the next 10 years. And all that's fine and all that's maybe good and all that may be good, but somewhere along the way, you have to keep your feet rooted and grounded in something that is Christian and that is biblical. And it is the fact that part of the Edenic curse is that you should work for a living. What everybody's trying to do is to manage to get to a spot where they don't have to work for a living. But the fact of the matter is, God never promised you that. What God said is, if we have food and raiment, let us be there with content. He said that a man should work. The fact is that there is a certain bondage to this life. The last people on this earth that had the Edenic blessings, that didn't have to work and sweat, were Adam and Eve before the fall, and everybody else since then has been supposed to work and sweat. And you are not to grow weary in the well-doing of just working and feeding your face. Now, again, folks, I'm not against the idea of being a good steward. I'm not against the idea of investing. I'm not against the idea of having a goal. If you can retire, retire, and all those things. But I can tell you this. If you become a millionaire before you're 55 and you get to retire 10 years early and all those things, if you're not careful, you're going to wind up going to the dogs after you succeed in doing that. Because a man that doesn't have a working pursuit day in and day out, week in and week out, that man usually winds up going to the dogs. I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but most millionaires work at least as much, at least as hard, as most Jerry Joe Blows that make $50,000 a year. You know why? Because it's put in a man, and God has things set where a man is not right if he's not working and feeding his family. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says that all the labor of a man is for his mouth. And people these days dream of independent wealth and uninterrupted leisure and luxury and that, but you need to understand what that is. That is a humanistic desire to get out from under a curse. Now, you know what? If you succeed in making your first million by the time you're 40, well, good. I hope that God has something for you on the other side of that, or you're going to spiral out and go downhill. Okay? But you should not, ladies and gentlemen, grow weary in well-doing if you're feeding your face and you're paying your bills and God's been good to you that way. Okay? The American dream is not a Christian promise. Food and raiment is a Christian promise. And along the way, a man's supposed to sweat and work for the thing. Working is well-doing. Feeding your family is well-doing. I really think that what God had in mind with a curse was a basic, good old down-home, blue-collar working job where a guy pays his bill and feeds his family. Don't grow weary in that thing. Do not dare think that you are a failure if you've got a job and you're working your fingers to the bone to feed your family and pay your bills. You're not a failure. You just haven't been raptured yet. Amen? All right. Look at something else. This will be kind of quick. Go back to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes, all the way back to the Old Testament. We'll be back to the New Testament in a minute. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Be not weary in well-doing. Well, you learned right there that well-doing is a man working and feeding his family. Well, amen. So don't be weary in that thing. In this, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 12. And further, by these my son be admonished, of making books there is no end. And it says, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. Much study is a weariness of the flesh. You study a lot, you're going to grow weary. It says, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. Well, much study is a weariness of the flesh. You know what the Bible says? The Bible has one admonition. It is only in the King James Bible. And you know what it says? It says, study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know what you're supposed to do? I'm not just talking about to preachers. I'm talking about you are supposed to study the Bible. Most people fear to embark. They go to church and they may read their Bible some, but they're afraid to study it, I suppose. There is an old saying, you know, some people come to the fountain of life and drink deeply, but most people simply come and gargle. And that's about the way it is with Bible knowledge. Now listen, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God. A Christian is supposed to study his Bible. That Christian is supposed to be a workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And I'll tell you what you will find. You will find that studying your Bible at times can be wearying. Sometimes it is unbelievably rewarding. And then there are times the Bible bores you to death. How's that for an admission? Well, I tell you why that is. Because that's how life is. And the Bible is a book about real life. And there are times that I am bored out of my mind with life. And there are times that I read my Bible and I'm going, am I going to get anything out of this today or not? But you know what? You need to study your Bible. You need to not be weary in well-doing. You don't need to grow weary of God's book. All right, there's something else that I wanted you to see. Look in Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to go back there now. Hebrews 12, I have a few more of these things. And right and left, you know, Christians fall by the wayside. And it seems like, you know, every day you hear somebody who used to be in the fight and isn't anymore. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. You know, you say, well, the devil knocked him out, or, you know, sin got to him, or demons, or some spiritual force. No, you know, in the end, you know what they did? They decided that they weren't going to get back up and go on. Okay? They grew weary. They grew faint, and they lost their will, and they lost their courage, and so they're not going on. And you know what? They're responsible for that, just like you're responsible for yours. There's something else I wanted you to see. Hebrews chapter 12. Go down to verse 4. Well, let's look at verse 3. For consider him, Christ, right, that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. And the reason we do that is lest we grow wearied and faint in our minds. So we're not supposed to grow weary, right? We're not supposed to grow weary and faint. And notice what follows, though. Verse 4, ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Look where all this started, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Folks, sandwiched on each side of let us not grow weary in well-doing and lest we be wearied and faint in our minds is the idea of sin. And it says, ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. You know, one of the things that you are likely to get weary of, in fact, you will get weary of it, I hope that you don't faint in it. One of the things that you are likely to grow weary in is striving against sin. It's one of the things that folks get tired of fighting. They get tired of fighting what they find inside themselves. They get tired of fighting the restrictions. They get tired of fighting the boundaries, even sometimes that they've set up for themselves or that the Bible set up for themselves. You hear it all the time. I became a Christian when I was a teenager, but you know what? I was going to a fundamentalist church, and I got tired of the thou shalts and the thou shalt nots. Okay, you hear that stuff all the time, and yet the Bible itself says that you're not supposed to grow weary in that thing that you have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. You know, a few years back, we were trying to keep a garden, but we kept going to camp. You know, in August, we finally gave up on gardening, basically. We hadn't planted a garden for years now. And the reason why is because the garden would be in pretty good shape by the time it was time to leave for camp. By the time we got back from camp 2 weeks later, the garden's gone, man. It's just completely gone. It's just been swallowed up. It just wasn't worth it to us anymore. But folks, you can't quit the Christian life like you quit gardening. You just can't do it. And I'll tell you this. I said earlier that I think that sometimes, you know, we read we read Pilgrim's Progress and we read Christian literature. We read biographies at times and testimonies of how people got victory in this and victory in that. And all those things are good, and I'm not saying that we shouldn't read those things. And I do believe that there's victory in the Christian life. And you know, I know people that got victory over drugs, and got victory over smoking, and got victory over homosexuality, and victory over a lot of things. And I'm glad for that. I got news for you though. You are not, I've been saved for 36 years. And, after 36 years, I have not yet gained victory. I mean, complete victory over all my sins. There are still things that I fought when I was 20 that I still get up and fight on the average day. And here I am, 47 years old. Okay? And in that respect, I think that sometimes we have a little bit of a romanticized notion about getting victory over sin. Because what the Bible says is down in verse 3, consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds, ye've not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. It sounds to me like that until the day you die, or until the day that I get raptured, there's going to be sins that you fight, and sins that I strive against in my life, and I'm going to have to be, maybe God won't give me some final victory. The truth of the matter is, if you were lazy when you were 25, when you're 45, you're going to have to fight off being lazy, most likely. The fact of the matter is, if you had a bad temper when you were 30, before you got saved, you may have put it on a back burner, and you may have put a lid on it, and it's good that you did, but the fact that you're 45 or 55 now, once in a while, you're going to have to go to battle with that temper. There are 150 things like that or more in the human character. The truth of the matter is, the Lord's got this thing fixed where you are never going to be sinlessly perfect. And if He does give you complete victory over certain sins, praise the Lord, thank God for His grace. But the fact of the matter is, until the day you die, you are called to strive against sin. And you know what striving is? If you have two teenage girls, two junior high girls in church striving with one another, what that means is when they get together, they gripe and moan and complain and argue. And that, the truth of the matter is, that's a lot of what the Christian life is. The truth of the matter is, that's one of the things that it's really easy to get fed up with, is that in the morning, I meet that lazy bum, the same lazy bum that I knew when I was 30 years old. And he hasn't changed much. And I have to get up and arm wrestle him and Indian wrestle him every day. The same bad temper, the same tendency to think wicked thoughts, I still struggle with today, just like I struggled with when I was 30 years old or 20 years old. Fact is, I don't know about you, maybe you'll testify different, but God didn't give me victory practically over every one of my sins. Did He? You? Well, you know what you're called to do? You're called to get up and strive with that sin every time that it sticks its head up above ground level. And you get fed up with it. You get tired of it. In fact, you start feeling like maybe you're abnormal. You know, maybe I'm a, you know, maybe I didn't get the real thing. Maybe I didn't get the Spirit after all. After all, I'm still fighting the same thing that I fought when I was 30 years old, and here I am 47. You'd think 17 years would make a difference. You know? But instead, you find yourself, you know, fighting the same battle. Well, brother, Welcome to the club. And you know, everybody else is like that too if they'll just admit it. And that's the truth. You'll have to watch being growing weary, striving against sin, because you will have to strive against it. There's something else I needed you to see. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Hey man, you are not abnormal. Next time the devil comes along and says, yeah, you're a little different. You have this unique problem. You know, you must, it works for everybody else, but somehow, you know, it just doesn't work for you the way it does everybody. Just tell him to shut up and go on because it's a lie. You are not any, you know, you're just not any different from anybody else. You're not unique. You're not special. Well, some of you are special, but you're not unique. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And this is more of a side note than anything else. Here's Paul, and he's laying into the Corinthians pretty good, making sure that they understand just exactly what they've been a little uppity, and just so they understand. Verse 24, of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger, in thirst, in fastings often, in cold, in nakedness, and so on. Well, it says, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season ye shall reap if you faint not. Down in verse 27, he says, in weariness. You know, one of the things that you can get tired of? You can get tired of being tired. You know what I hear sometimes? People say, oh, I'm sorry, Pastor, I didn't come to church Sunday night. I was tired. Who's not tired? You know, brother, I leave for vacation tired and come back tired. I go to bed at night tired and get up in the morning tired. And then I'm tired in between. I'm serious. You know, it's kind of funny, you know, isn't it? People use that excuse. One of the things that you have to watch out for is growing weary of being weary. Now, it won't stop your fishing. It won't stop your hunting, and it won't stop you staying up till 2 in the morning playing video games. But it will stop you from going to visitation. Now, you know what you'll have to watch out for? You'll have to watch out lest you grow weary and faint. You'll have to watch out growing weary, being tired, just being tired. People say, how you doing? I'm tired. Well, welcome to the club. You know, who isn't tired? I think we're supposed to be tired all the time. I mean, I don't usually talk to anybody that says, oh man, I feel good, I got more energy than I can deal with. Unless they've been taking those funny pills, and that doesn't count. All right. Well, something else then. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Being tired is no excuse, brother. I'm not talking about if you're sick. Okay? I'm not talking about if you've got a legitimate problem where you got to get some rest. I understand that. If you've worked two shifts back to back, well, you know, you probably should just go home Wednesday night and get some rest. I understand that. But there's an awful lot of times that people say, yeah, I was tired. Well, yeah. Didn't keep you from going out to dinner, though, did it? All right, Proverbs chapter 3, Proverbs 3, verse 11. Now, you know this well, and you know this passage from Hebrews as well, Hebrews chapter 12. But my son, verse 11, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son that he receiveth. Right in Hebrews? All right, now ladies and gentlemen, you know one of the things that you can grow weary in? You can grow weary in being corrected. You can grow weary in day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, if you've been saved that long, of the Holy Spirit being on you. The Bible says that He will reprove the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. The Bible says that Holy Spirit dwells in you. He's sealed in you. You are sealed by the Holy Spirit of God until the day of redemption. And his job is to convict you and reprove you. Furthermore, if you are in the Bible, you're going to get in the Bible every morning and find that everything that you did yesterday basically was wrong. I don't know about you. I suppose it's probably a man quirk. And I don't know. When I sit down to my computer and get on my word processor, I have this little animated dude on a motorcycle on my screen. It rides up and he wants to help me on my word processor. And I'll start typing away and I will indent something some way he doesn't like, or spell something some way that he doesn't like, and there's a little question mark and he goes pink, pink. He just starts nagging. You know, anything that I do on there, you know, he doesn't like it. If I spell a King James word the way the King James Bible spells it, if I spell labor or savior the way the King James Bible tries, then my word processor underlines it in red. You know, I have misspelled the word. And if I indent or space some way that it doesn't like, then he underlines it in green to make sure that I knew that I made a mistake. And I finally punch him in the chops and make him go away, because he's nagging me. I get tired of being corrected. You know, my wife and I, we went to, when we came back from China, we stopped in San Francisco and drove from San Francisco over to Yosemite there one day. And we were, you know, tooling along and had to cross through some mountains. And Marcy really likes mountains a lot, especially when she's on the driver, the passenger side. And the mountain is on my side. And so the valley is on her side. And there's no guardrail and there's not even a stripe on the road. And so, you know, she's sitting there and she's learned that it doesn't go well with me if the person in the passenger seat is going, stop, stop, look, she starts doing that. I get really upset. So through the years, you know, she's basically managed to suppress responses. And honestly, I'm only going 80 miles an hour around these mountain curves. And, you know, I'm approaching this, to her, an outside curve, and to her, it's going way too fast, and I'm taking it, and I see her hands start doing this, you know, and I can feel inside me, I can feel this response, shut up, I know what I'm doing. And I tell you what, I can't stand, my kids have learned this, and my wife has learned this, if I'm on the computer, I cannot stand you to stand over my shoulder and read. Much less can I stand if I'm typing an email, somebody walk up and go, you misspelled that. I can't handle it, okay? But you see, I'm stuck with the Holy Spirit. He's sealed inside me till the day of redemption. And just about every waking hour of the day, I'm walking around, he's going, ah, 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 ah. And you know what, folks? You can grow weary of that thing after a while if you're not careful. If you're not careful, that old natural man, those natural tendencies where, you know, none of us, in fact, really like being corrected all that much, being like told what to do, especially on a minute, momentary basis. And that is exactly what the Bible does. That is exactly what the Holy Spirit does. And then you come here on Sunday and Wednesday, and the redneck gets up and starts screaming at you. Okay? You know what I'm saying? Now, ladies and gentlemen, you know what you'll have to watch out for? You will have to watch out for being weary and fainting over being corrected. Now, not just that way, but I mean with the Lord sometimes putting a 2x4 upside your head and really correcting you. But, just be glad, I guess. You're only going to live 70, 80, 90 years at most. Just be glad that you didn't live 900 years like Adam. Because you had to put up with that for 900 years, being corrected, being whipped, and so on. And I have never been one, folks. I have never been one to enjoy. I don't like the smile, God loves you sign. I don't like the smiley face, and I don't like smile, God loves you. I just think it's wimpy. But if there's ever a place in Christian theology for it. It's here. When you are being chastened and when you are being corrected, smile. Because God loves you. It's true. Don't be weary and faint in being corrected. Moment by moment, hour by hour, day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year, year after year. There's something else. Galatians 6. Galatians 6. You'll have to watch being weary and fainting over working and paying your bills. And that is a work of well-doing. You'll have to watch out of growing weary and faint in your mind studying, of striving against sin, of just being tired, and of being corrected. But then there's this. Galatians 6, 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Now, you know what, folks? If you put verse 7 and verse 9 together, there's only one conclusion. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Well, you have sowing and reaping, and then it says, don't be weary, because in due season you shall reap if you faint not. The only lesson in that, folks, is that if you are not careful, you will grow weary of sowing. You'll grow weary of sowing. You don't usually grow too weary of reaping. You know, when things are good and the crops are coming in, well, that's fun. It's money time. But when it comes to breaking up fallow ground and stumping and pulling rocks out of the field and that sort of thing, that's something different. And I got settled in my mind a long time ago when we came to Minnesota that our ministry was going to basically revolve around sowing, because we just weren't reaping very much. And ever since then, we've been street preaching, seems like innumerable times. Door to door, it seems like innumerable times. And it's just not that often that we reap on the streets and door to door. But I got something through my head. This is a sowing ministry. I'm not to grow weary in well-doing, and the well-doing that we're doing is sowing. And one of the oddities, maybe I said this the other night, I'm not sure, but you know, we were kind of fascinated by that whole sequoia deal, you know, out there in Yosemite. They say on those sequoias that at any one given time, there may be up to 200 million cones and a seed in each cone. That there are sometimes 200 million of those on a tree. Maybe there's more than one seed in a cone now that I think about it. But 200 million seeds on a tree at any given time. And sometimes they said a tree will retain its cones for 20 years. It takes the exact right kind of a sequences for the cones to even fall to the forest floor. A part of it is heat. Part of it is fire. And then, once the cone has fallen to the floor, it takes the right combination, again, of heat and moisture, and squirrels or chicories coming by and chewing and cracking the cone, and a certain kind of beetle comes by and poops on it or whatever. And it takes a certain exacting sequence of things. And once in a while, just once in a blue moon, one of those 200 million seeds actually finds its way into the ground and becomes a seedling. Now, if a sequoia has 200 million seeds, it's doing a lot of sowing and not a lot of reaping. God put that illustration in nature just so you'd see. And you know, folks, you'll have to watch lest you grow weary of sowing. Because I tell you this, you're going to do more sowing than reaping. You're going to do a lot more sowing than reaping. Just a couple more things and I'll be done, all right? Look in 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 13, 1 Peter 2:13. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. With the incoming presidents that we're going to get, you just better steel yourself, okay? Whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. What is the well-doing of verse 15? The well-doing of verse 15 is submitting yourselves to every ordinance of man. Now, I understand that there's a limit to it. I understand that there's a biblical precept for civil disobedience under certain occasions and that sort of thing. But it doesn't justify you going out and stealing gas. It doesn't justify you not paying your taxes. It says there to submit yourselves to every ordinance of man. Why? For the Lord's sake. And that you are not to grow weary, that you are not rather, that with well-doing, you see this is well-doing? That with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the things that well-doing is in the Bible is submission to proper authority. And you're not to grow weary in it, no matter who's president, and no matter how bad taxes get. Isn't that something? I don't like it either. But there's one more. Look in 1 Peter chapter 4, then we're done, okay? 1 Peter chapter 4. And Simon Peter is going through a thing here where he's acknowledging the hardships and the persecution and suffering that these Christians are going through. And for instance, he says, verse 16, and this has been a theme a little bit through quite a bit of the chapter. Verse 16, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Well, amen. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and sinner appear? Well, it's a good question. But look at verse 19. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. You see in verse 19 that well-doing? Well, we were told to not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Well, what is the well-doing in verse 19? Let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. You know what, folks? One of the things that the Bible describes or defines well-doing as is trusting God for results. Even when you're suffering, you let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. You're suffering, you continue to do the right thing, the right way, and you leave the result to the Lord. Okay? Do not grow weary in well-doing. And well-doing is trusting God for results when you don't see results. Let us not grow weary in well-doing. Folks, they're falling out by the cord. They're falling out by regiments and brigades now. Don't be one of them. Everybody that falls out and quits because they want to, because they choose to. There is always an element of an act of will in it. When you decide to accept a ready excuse and you lay down and quit, you are committing an act of will and blaming it on someone else. Let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you'll help us be strong, keep us strong. We pray that you would not allow us to easily go the route that some have gone. We've perhaps here heard some things that some people don't hear from the pulpits where they go to church. We've been encouraged in some ways that a lot of people don't get encouraged at times. We pray that to whom much is given, much shall be required. You'll help us be good stewards of those mysteries which we've gathered and those lessons that we've learned. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Number 334. Good night, folks. Enjoy the evening outside. Amen.